Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
Fantasy football expert for Fanball.
It's just a fantasy.
I think it's pretty easy to keep my fantasy football life away from my real life.
Taking your fantasy questions every week.
You know, if you're one of those people like, hey, I got you on my fantasy football team, because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But your fantasy football team probably sucks.
Paul Charchian with McNeil and Parkins.
It's a fantasy football thing.
On 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Zopolis and Associates, and the segment brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Cubs day games each of the next 2 days, and we can't go into an NFL season without talking to Paul Charchian.
No, lots of people need help after week one, and those who prospered probably want to keep it going, so they want to hear what an expert has to think. He's Mr. Minneapolis. He's just buzzing over his Vikings, and boy, is he... It's like he's a Bears fan, though, because I think more than being excited about his Vikings, he's pissed at the Bears.
I am pissed at the Bears, and I'm pissed at Matt Nagy for making me look like a freaking doofus for telling everybody to start David Montgomery, which, by the way, I should have been right. I was right. He was wrong, as far as I'm concerned, because is there anybody who thinks that Davis is a better running back than Montgomery? All Montgomery is doing is shredding tacklers. He should have been 6 carries for -6 yards. He turned 6 carries into 18 yards. He had the great catch. And how do you only give that guy 7 touches? How do you pass the ball the entire... I'm sure you've heard this all week. How do you spend the entire game passing the ball when your quarterback is melting down in front of everybody? It was such a dumb ass...
I am grateful, Paul. Danny and I have tomorrow off because this might be the longest refractory period after a tough Bears loss in franchise history. So you're right. We have been gnashing teeth over it. And it wasn't just Montgomery. Tariq Cohen didn't have a carry.
I know. Well, and you know, listen, I don't have a problem with that. And I told you I was nervous about Cohen anyway, although he wasn't going to catch so many passes. He caught 8 passes, you know, for like 6 yards, but he caught 8 passes, which I guess, you know, at least they made a concerted effort to get the ball in his hands. It's just, they have to get their arms around the fact that Montgomery's their best runner. You know, there are these coaches out there that just are like, well, we can't trust our rookie running backs. You know, protection, fumbling. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared. Hold me. Forget that. Josh Jacobs just rumbled for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Raiders go win. Start your rookie running backs if they're awesome, and you've got a great one. Let's hope that process starts this week in Denver.
Fanball.com/Charch is where you can find him. I know you do waiver stuff with Dan and Connor, but there's always week one overreactions in fantasy. What do people know about the state of their leagues right now today as we stand?
You know, I think there is a lot to learn, and I'm a believer in, you know, there's so many teams that you know, hold their cards so close to the vest that until the regular season starts, and then you know, when they need to win games, you go find out a lot. And I am a believer that a lot of what you see in week one is real. And mostly, for example, on the waiver wire, I'm putting big money into the free agents that I want to go get. And so I'm aggressive. And if you did that last year, you turned up a guy like George Kittle, or you turned up a guy like Philip Lindsay, who had big game ones in the first week. And if you were aggressive and went and got those guys, you got paid all year.
So, Charge, like, would T.J. Hockenson fit that bill?
God, yes. Now, here's the thing that you have to know about T.J. Hockenson. Well, two things. One, historically, rookie tight ends don't do crap for fantasy, and they will dagger your team. But then there's T.J. Hockenson, who just set the all-time NFL record for the most yards in a debut game for a tight end. And by the way, did it in regulation. Didn't need the overtime to get there. He had salted that record away then. He looks special. So I think, and Hunter Henry, if people don't know, broken leg, he's expected to miss at least a month. this is go get Hockenson and go ahead and put your chips out for him, because it's not, you know, it's never easy to find a tight end, and he looks like one who's going to break the mold for rookies. Yeah,
brand new. That's another Matt Nagy problem, finding a tight end. But we digress. We're not living in the past. We're not talking about the Packers game anymore.
All right, let's go to the toughest either-ors for our listeners. We begin with Andrew in DeKalb. Andrew, you're on with Paul Charchian.
Thanks for taking the call. I have Danny Amendola or Larry Fitzgerald in the flex position in my PPR league. Thank you.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald with the big game last week, which was really gratifying to see on a lot of levels here, but I don't think we're going to get the repeat because he goes to Baltimore. Obviously a much tougher matchup, and he plays from the slot. He's going to see Brandon Carr, who's one of the best slot corners around. Brandon Carr didn't give up a touchdown last year in his coverage, zero. And last week, Brandon Carr gave up -3 yards in his coverage. So as much as we love Larry and what he did last week, I don't think I want to try to start him in Baltimore this week.
Try to give Charch your opponents. He obviously knows them, but for the audience's benefit, please. So here is Zach and Joliet on with Charch. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got Lamar Jackson versus Arizona at home and Cam Newton at home versus Tampa Bay.
Not close. Same answer I would have given you last week. Start Lamar Jackson. The passing obviously was terrific. And now he gets a debilitated Cardinals secondary that just allowed Matthew Stafford to throw for 385 and three. That never happens. He's got great options in tight end Mark Andrews, who goes up against the defense that just allowed, as I mentioned, the most yards to a first start tight end in the history of the NFL. And not only that, but they put all this speed at the wide receiver position with Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin.
Mm-hmm.
They've got so much faster than the cornerbacks they're trotting out for Arizona, Tremaine Brock and Chris Jones, who are lead footed.
So are you bullish on Lamar Jackson for the season likely?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In games when he doesn't pass himself to victory, he'll run himself to victory for your team. So, yeah. He was my number 7 quarterback going into the season, and that felt a little aggressive, but he was going off the board nationally at quarterback 15. Now I feel like that was too low, and I think if I could redo my preseason rankings, he'd be top 5.
What? So him versus Kyler Murray, obviously you prefer Lamar Jackson.
I really don't like Kyler Murray this week, so let's just spend a second on that. But I loved what he did in the second half of last week's game, rallying the troops and all that. But the trip to Baltimore, you know, we talked about the Larry Fitzgerald part is a huge part of why I don't like him here. But this is it's still a good Ravens defense, and I don't think he succeeds here unless he happens to be able to run for some yardage. And even then, I don't know if that's going to happen. Get this. The Ravens have allowed 2 quarterback rushing touchdowns in their last 34 games. So Kyler Murray to me is my number 20 quarterback as it stands right now with the provisional rankings that we have on Wednesdays.
Kevin in Rockford is on with Paul Charchian from fanball.com. What's up, Kevin?
Well, okay, I got Sony Michel going up against the Dolphins or Tariq Cohen against the Broncos.
Right. So a couple of guys that I think disappointed last week. Sony Michel, as I heard you alluded to last segment, 15 carries for 14 yards. I think it was, you know, 0.9 yards per carry.
Uh-huh.
But guys, here come the Dolphins. This is going to be your get right game, right?
No question.
This is his average last year in the 2 games against the Dolphins was 23 carries. If he gets 23 carries against the Dolphins this week, whew, man, that was going to be a fantastic game for Sony Michel. Again, provisional rankings on Wednesday right now, but I've got him ranked number 10 at the moment at the running back position.
Brandon in Ottawa is on with Charge. Go ahead, Brandon.
All right, so I got John Ross at home against San Francisco or Robbie Anderson on Monday night at home against Cleveland.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, John Ross was a shocking revelation when he, put up, they threw him 14 times. John Ross, when does that ever happen? Still, I don't love him here, but I think he's going to be my selection in part because Robbie Anderson's not healthy. The 49ers are the opponent here. They just had a dominating performance against Tampa Bay, but I don't know that they're going to have the same kind of success twice in a row. And you can avoid Richard Sherman by just going to the other side of the field. So, we'll try John Ross, currently my number 33 wide receiver.
What impact do you think the Tyreek Hill injury has on the Chiefs personnel?
Not a ton, although Mecole Hardman is perfectly set to walk into that spot, right? When they drafted Hardman, it was because he had the similar skill set to what Tyreek Hill could do, and at the time, they didn't know if they'd have Tyreek Hill. So Hardman, presumably, as the speed guy, is going to walk into a lot of those routes. Now, he's really young and raw, so maybe not all of them, but I just don't see this offense really backing down at all from what we've seen in the past. And how great was it? You know, Sammy Watkins...
He gets excited and then he walks around the room and there we lose the Lucy app on his phone.
No.
There it
I'm
here. You're back.
Hey, we're back?
Yes.
All right, good.
When your pulse gets above 80, it goes in
and
out.
That's what happens. It just cuts out. So Sammy Watkins, always hurt, dragging one foot behind himself for his whole career. He's finally healthy. And look what happened last week. Healthy Sammy Watkins just blowing past Jalen Ramsey. How great is it to see that guy get it stuck to him? I loved what I saw last week from Watkins. And right now, my number one wide receiver for this week, Sammy Watkins.
If you drafted Sammy Watkins in the 10th round for being a backup, you couldn't have been happier for Tyreek Hill's injury the other day.
Perfect situation, yes.
Wow, so Sammy Watkins over Julio at home.
Yes, and here's the bit. This is for all the Falcons. So everybody's got a Falcon. Here's what you need to know. That offensive line is an absolute disaster right now. Vikings destroyed it, and they rebuilt it in the offseason. But one of the key components to that was their first-round draft pick, Chris Lindstrom. He just went on IR. And this is they have a really big problem right now with just – keeping that line together and keeping Matt Ryan upright. So I'm nervous right now about all of my Falcons, including Julio Jones. I know Julio Jones was lucky last week that the Vikings gave him a garbage touchdown at the end, or it would have been really bad. Now, the only thing working for him, he's got the Eagles this week. The Eagles' top corner is Ronald Darby. Ronald Darby is like 5 inches and 35 pounds under Julio Jones, so he might just be able to dominate him physically that way.
All right, let's go to Brian in Darien, who's got a question for Paul Charchian of Fanball.com. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Charch, here's what I got. A PPR league, this is for a flex. I got Ronald Jones versus Carolina or Philip Lindsay versus the Bears.
Thank you, Brian.
Can't start Philip Lindsay against your Bears. Your run defense was awesome last year. It was awesome on Thursday. And I'm the world's biggest Philip Lindsay apologist. I love him, but I'm not putting him up against. If I got any other good options, I'm taking those other options right now.
Are there any good fantasy players in Chicago, Denver? There really aren't, are there?
I mean,
unless you play in a league that like has defensive players,
I mean,
maybe.
Allen Robinson's got to be a fine play.
Allen Robinson's probably the best of the bunch.
He is, but and by the way, should have had. I don't know, 190 yards and, you know, I don't know.
Sad Trombonski.
But that's another story. Sad Trombonski got him. But here's my worry. Denver's got one great cornerback, Chris Harris. And Chris Harris can shadow opposing number ones. They don't always do it. They didn't do it against Tyrell Williams for some reason last week, and they needed him. I'm a little bit worried. I mean, if you take Allen Robinson away, then what? So now I got to get Sad Trombonski to hook up with...
Yeah.
Anthony Miller?
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels like the game plan here. And then also, you know, Vic Fangio's awesome. He knows the ins and outs of all the offensive players. So I'm nervous even about Allen Robinson in this one. He's got a provisional ranking for me right now as wide receiver 25.
Man, this game's going to be 10-3 again.
We'll all be fine, though. We'll all survive, and we'll stop talking about it after Tuesday's show, because that's the Wednesday rule in Chicago now.
I like that.
Do we have to re-explaining that reference?
I think, yeah, for those who might just be jumping in their cars, you're just banging out of work, Mitch Trubisky today telling the world I'm not supposed to talk about the previous week when he speaks on Wednesday, which is when Mitch always talks. You get him after the game, and then when he meets media on Wednesday in Lake Forest, no more questions about the game per Bears Public Relations and others.
So
jeez.
I know.
Come on, man.
Yeah, this is like Mount Carmel High School before its big date against St. Rita.
Sad Trombonski, Char-Char's giving you an opening there.
I feel like I've played my Sad Trombonski card enough times for this Thursday. It'll be back next
Sad Trombonski.
We'll play it for you. Brian in Brian in Barrington, you're on with Charge. What's your question?
Hey, guys. So I got Curtis Samuel at home against Tampa Bay. This is for the flex spot. Or I got Jameson Crowder at home against Cleveland.
Jameson Crowder gets Cleveland. He ran 83% of his routes from the slot last week. And so he's going to see Browns cornerback TJ Carey almost exclusively, who did not allow a single score in slot coverage last year. So while I love the fact that they threw to Jameson Crowder 17 times in one game last week, I don't think the same game plan is coming this week. And I do see a bit of a bounce back coming for Carolina. So we'll go Curtis Samuel in this one.
Since you mentioned the Browns, Baker Mayfield, very tough start. I don't remember where you were on him before the season started, but any reason to have long-term concerns about the Cleveland offense that was supposed to be so much better?
Yes. I'm a little rattled, and it's mostly because of the offensive line in just total disarray. Left tackle Greg Robinson is inconsistent. He's reckless. He got thrown out of last week's game. Backups Kendall Lamb and Austin Corbett are hurt. The Jets are the opponents this week. Hardly an elite pass rushing team, but neither was Tennessee, and they harassed Baker Mayfield into four sacks and a bunch of terrible throws, including three picks. So yeah, I'm nervous right now, and it's because I don't see the offensive line suddenly getting a lot better. You know, they traded Kevin Zeitler to get Odell Beckham, and that line has been dreadful ever since. I'm nervous about my Browns, and I was plenty high on them. I thought they'd overcome it. But my faith is a little bit shattered right now. He's my number 14 quarterback this week, Baker Mayfield.
Shadoobie.
Last call is Brian in Humboldt Park. You're on with Charge, Brian.
Hey, guys. For wide receiver 3 in a PPR league, I've got Cortland Sutton against the Bears or DK Metcalf against the Steelers. Wondering what you guys think.
Thank you.
I don't. Yeah.
He doesn't sound like he's overwhelmed by the options.
No, these are not very good choices, I'm afraid. DK Metcalf was way a bigger part of the offense than I thought he was going to be. Probably because they just didn't have a choice. Because nobody else to throw to there. So I think we're going to end up taking him. The only angle that I like for any receiver is a little bit of Emmanuel Sanders in the slot against Buster Screen, but that's it. I don't want anybody from your game next week if I can avoid it.
Any big fantasy story that we didn't hit it on today, Charge?
Well, I'm so glad you didn't ask about Antonio Brown because I'm tired of talking about it.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm tired of hearing about it. Evans going to be okay in Tampa? Have we gotten to Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, who posted a zero in some leagues this past week? What are your thoughts on the Tampa skilled players?
Yeah, went negative in some leagues because of the picks. I mean, you know, if you're Tampa, the frustration has got to be, well, if not Jameis, then what? You know, we're not going to Blaine Gabbert. So, you know, you just got to live with the picks, I guess. Mike Evans was battling through illness last week. And so I think that was part of why he had a down game. But most of it's on Winston, who just unfortunately might be, maybe he just is what he is. I thought he'd be better with Bruce Arians, and we're only one game in. And you know, there's still a lot of time for him to be better. But Mike Evans got a tough matchup this week with cornerback James Bradbury, who's owned him in this divisional rivalry in the past. He's 6 career games. He's never had more than 65 yards against the Carolina Panthers and James Bradbury. And last year held him to 1 catch for 16 yards, 4 catches for 4 catches for 48 scoreless yards. That's it. So yeah, it's you know, I don't like Mike Evans much either for this one. He's my number 20 ranked wide receiver right now.
Charge, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Charge.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in 8 days, my friends. Bye-bye.
Actually, hey, Charge, you still there? We got you?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, what's your pick? Packers, Vikings?
Packers are going to win because the Vikings' offensive line's not right yet, and it's a work in process. And you saw how active and fast that Packers' line looked. And you know what's the disgusting part of the Vikings losing about this? The Packers are in first. It's so gross. Who wants that in the NFC North?
Here's Mr. Viking trying to find the common denominator with us. A hatred
it is,
for
exactly.
Wisconsin people, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the other common denominator, of course, is we are both in border states of Wisconsin. And so when, you know, you got a bunch of people that were born and raised in Wisconsin, and when they decide they want to go see a building that's higher than a silo, where do they go? They come to our cities, and what do they take with them? They're green and gold, and, you know, and 25 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking that they throw in our faces. That's the other problem. And our shared pain. And I know your listeners know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
Have a good weekend, man. Thanks.
Thank you, my friends. Bye-bye.
See you.
Paul Charchian.
Feels like a weekend. It's Wednesday.
Fanball.com/Charch. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, Friday for some.
September is back-to-school safety month. AAMCO's free multi-point inspection includes a free brake check, and they offer expert repairs to ensure your vehicle can stop safely, from transmission, engine repairs, brakes, maintenance, and everything in between. Search AAMCO for the location near you.
Much crisper in week two, as you know it is. It's been a while since we did it last week. Didn't put our best foot forward, but we looked at the film, we talked about it, and we got it done in much better aptitude today. I feel good about that.
All right, good job. Good job by you. Good job by Charch. Good job by Tanny. Good job by everybody.
We'll talk about it for a little bit, but come Wednesday next week, we'll forget it.
Tanny told me there's audio from one of our favorite baseball voices to play from out of town that I have not heard.
Oh, I'm titillated.
I just, anytime he's on my rundown, I want to hear it. So we're going to play it coming up next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8-8, bottom of the 10th. Here is Cishek. Inside ball four. This ball game belongs to my San Diego Padres. On the score, Reyes just touched home plate. It's official. It's a 9-8 ball game. How about them boys? Lost a 5-2 lead. Lost an 8-5 lead. Bowed their neck. Went back out there. Bullpen was sensational, except for a big speed bump for the first time for Andrés Muñoz and his 102-mile-an-hour fastball. And give this Manuel Margot a walk with the bases loaded and a run batted in to win the ball game. This series is tied.
Who's that Brockmeyer sounding fella? That's Ted Leitner, the broadcaster for the San Diego Padres. I'll admit, I've not pulled up the MLB app for any of these late night games to listen to Mr. Leitner's calls of these Cubs Padres games.
Yeah, if you're even watching Cubs television late at night, you're a good fan. You're a better fan than most, because most people are kind of resigned with the Cubs these days. Even after the win Monday night, I think there's a resignation that exists in a high percentage of fans. I didn't stay up. I fell asleep right before the game tying dong, which is unfortunate because I didn't have enough space on my DVR to get the back end of the game and to see if the ump, C.B. Buckner, was screwing over Steve Cishek. And I missed all of that. And Quick Pitch didn't have a lot on it today. They didn't have anything on the umpire.
What a moment. It doesn't get any better than this.
So that is the guy who Brockmeyer is based off of. Hank Azaria has discussed this.
Yes, Brockmeyer, whiteboard for those who don't get it.
Brockmeyer.
Like me.
Brockmeyer television show, a character who Hank Azaria, who's the voice of a bunch of the characters on The Simpsons, a tremendous voice actor. You would recognize him if you've seen him, if you IMDb'd him. He's got a bunch of acting credits.
Okay.
But he's got this this show that's basically on it's a fictitious drunk baseball broadcaster who his wife cheats on him, and he brings that into the broadcast. He's a drunk. He brings that into the broadcast.
Okay.
So he's a caricature of a bunch of historic baseball figures, but Azaria grew up in the San Diego area, listened to Leitner, and so the make-believe voice, and, you know, Joe Buck has been on the show, and so it's popular in the baseball community.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah,
like Mac, he'll have a home run call like, that ball cannot be buried in a Jewish cemetery because it is tattooed.
Yeah, so,
like, stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's just a parody and like kind of racy humor within a baseball broadcast.
I copy that. That's very cool.
It's very funny.
He sounds a little bit like Jerry Coleman, who was the legend. I think he died a year or two ago, though. I think. If not, I just killed him.
Okay. All right.
Happy. Really, really happy.
R.I.P. maybe to Jerry Coleman. Yeah.
When it was teased that we have sound up here from one of our favorite out-of-town announcers, in my head, I was handicapping. All right.
If Pirates is the favorite.
Pirates would be the favorite. I would make,
yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I would make either Greg Brown or one of the ex-Pirates pitchers wanting you to get off his lawn pick one. They would be like 3-2.
Definitely.
And then I would say maybe at 3-1, Mike Shannon of the Cardinals booth. He's always a suspect.
Yeah.
And it gets a little fuzzy after that. I don't know if we have found a third out-of-town group as much as we those two. Have we?
Definitely not. Spiegel and I did something on Brockmeyer when it came out, and Joe Buck, who did a cameo on the show, was on the show. And so we've talked about Leitner back in the day, and his voice just makes me happy because it's so Johnny Joe broadcaster.
It's happy. It's really, really happy.
It's baseball-y, too.
It's very baseball-y. And so, it's a tense game last night. Goes into extra innings.
How about them boys?
And how about them? And so it's a tense game, and around here we're taking it very seriously, hoping that the Cubs can hang on. And San Diego, they don't have quite the same expectations. It's a little bit more laid back. So Tanny found how Ted Leitner was dealing with the drama of the 10th inning.
2-2 to Freddie, his nickname, for the late great Fred Rogers of PBS. Can't wait to see that movie with Tom Hanks. Anything Tom Hanks does is worth watching, as far as I'm concerned. What an artist.
Yes, he is. So, does he work alone?
Yes.
I was going to say, either that or he has a partner who he's even less, so uninterested he doesn't even muster up an mm-hmm.
What's incredible about that is the antidote to Ron Coomer's, Pats. It's a great film.
Oh, that's great.
It really is. What an artist.
Anything Tom Hanks does is worth watching, as far as I'm concerned. What an artist.
Oh, he is indeed an artist.
What an artist.
He is an artist. You've done enough bio, Tom Hanks. I know we don't want to get away from Ted Leitner anymore.
I'm here. I'm here for the Tom Hanks conversation. Let's do it.
He's done so much biographical work now, really. I mean, what much more do we need him to do?
What an artist.
What an artist.
Yeah, and one of my favorite Hanks roles. I take it every year. It's a staple. Every year when Tom Hanks has a birthday, we draft Tom Hanks movies.
Of course.
And I always take Charlie Wilson's War. I love him as Charlie Wilson.
How many has he done? Because he did Sully.
Yeah.
He did Captain Phillips.
Charlie Wilson's War. Michael Keaton was Ray Kroc, right? Michael Keaton, Ray Kroc.
So now he's doing Mr. Rogers.
Did he also do Walt Disney?
Yeah, Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah, he did Saving Mr. Banks, too, which I saw, and I was like, okay, here we go. There's another one, and I thought that then, a year and a half ago when it came out.
Are we counting Apollo 13 as a biopic? It's a real person,
not
but it was
necessarily.
Because that's not really his story. Right. That's the story of the mission.
Yeah, and I don't know if Captain Phillips was necessarily biographical. It was about events of two days, but
he plays a real person.
Yeah, yes.
Plays a real person.
Who's not a famous person.
Right, there is a difference between biopic and playing a real person. What?
He played Ben Bradley in The Post.
Yes, he did. Also not a biopic, but that is another real person that he's portrayed.
And a very disappointing movie, too.
Anything Tom Hanks does is worth watching, as far as I'm concerned. What an artist.
What an artist.
What an artist.
God, is that great. Any guy, you guys in on Mr. Rogers? Like, was that a big part of your childhood?
Definitely. Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street. I was able to check out the Mr. Rogers documentary that they had on PBS not too long ago. So that was a nice precursor for that. So I think wife and I will definitely check it out. Kids, not so much these days with the Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's lost in current kids generation. I don't know if anyone else watches that. If they still even run it, I don't know. Because we watch everything on apps and Amazon Fire Stick. So it's a little different. So I don't know if that gets lost over the years.
Yeah, Sesame Street was on, but it was never like Die Hard. I thought Cookie Monster was hilarious.
My little brother is in that generation. He's 47 of Mr. Rogers, and because I watched him a lot when he was growing up, Mr. Rogers was part. I was in my late teens, mid to late teens, but I still
I don't have a desire to see it, though.
Really?
Yeah, not so much. And I know he was an incredible guy. He was a very philanthropical, generous guy who was...
ahead of his time on social issues also,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. He was very sincere. Interesting show. Kind of creepy in parts.
Yeah.
What about Mr. McFeely?
That would be part of it, right? Mr. McFeely.
Can't think of a single thing, Danny.
King Friday? Do I have the right king?
That's it.
Is that the right guy? King Friday.
What an artist.
What an artist. What do we want from Tom Hanks next? Do we have a, if he's going to do a biopic?
Find a place for him in Ted 3. That's all I'm requesting.
We need Ted 3.
Of the film industry. I'm not asking for anything else. Just keep doing the superhero movies because they're working. Keep doing live action movies of former children's stories. Cartoons or otherwise. Just keep doing those. But give me, before I go, another rendezvous with Ted and John. I want to spend another day with Ted and John.
I want Seth MacFarlane on the show so bad so we can just talk Ted.
Not a chance.
Yeah, bro, I don't like a chance.
He's busy doing that silly, it's succeeding, I think, that Fox show he's doing.
Yeah.
Some space odyssey deal.
Yeah, and cash and checks on residuals.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's got a good
gig. Orville?
That's it.
Yes.
The Orville, yeah.
People are saying that Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
Yes.
Is the new Mr. Rogers Neighborhood.
Yes, it's the same principles. It's an animated cartoon, same principles, like similar songs, similar messages. And, you know, he's got Daniel Tiger's got the little, you know, sweater attire
Googling
going.
This Mr. Tiger.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, yeah, it's their way to make it translate, I guess, to today's kids. And it's a really sweet cartoon.
It's a sweet, oh, okay.
It is, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a guy named Daniel Tiger, not Daniel the Tiger that was animated. I'm like, man, what a tough act to follow. Fred Rogers for this Daniel Tiger fellow. That's like Drew Carey coming after Bob Barker. Like, so but Daniel Tiger probably doesn't feel that pressure, you know, because he's not real.
You're probably thinking of Chase Daniel Tiger, the other show where it's about the little tiger who can sense if a quarterback is being genuine.
So it's a really sweet show, too.
Right.
It's more of a tiger than a Mr. Rogers.
What Chase Daniel did not share with us when he shared that was he also has the crazy ability to recognize when someone is incredibly fragile and might be inclined to say to an assistant PR guy, hey, maybe he shouldn't talk about the game that was played last week. Maybe we should just move past that so he isn't reminded of his failures. We should move. He's got incredible skills, that Chase Daniel. He'll be quarterbacking his team by week 5.
Stop.
All right,
stop.
I will.
Stop. God, I don't
want
to live
I don't
in that
want
world.
That to be the case.
I don't want to.
I really, really don't.
Bottom of the hour.
Maybe it's just a sixth sense of mine. I can spot if a guy is genuine.
Yeah, it's an impressive skill.
It's a sixth sense.
It's useful.
He's got the genuine meter going.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves open the season Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com.
Tanny, you speak true romance. Christopher Walken talks about his dad having the ability to... His dad was a champion of Sicilian liars,
yes, he was.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And he had the ability... A guy's got 18 ways to give himself away when he's telling a lie. The pantomime. Woman's got 20. Guy's got 18. He describes that. And Chase Daniel has 18 ways he can identify whether someone is being genuine. I flashed a movie so often, and I thought you and I were on the same exact wavelength yesterday when we had Hub on right around.
Oh yeah,
this
we were.
When Hub was talking about, he was talking about the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and
the conspiracy theory.
Bill Belichick would never. I know Bill Belichick said Hub. He would never get involved with something like that kind of chicanery. That's never going to happen from Bill Belichick. And you and I were kind of looking at each other, smiling. And I was thinking of The Social Network when Jesse Eisenberg, playing Mark Zuckerberg, says, well, I guess that would be the first time somebody's lied under oath. Were you thinking the
of
same
course.
Thing? Okay.
Well, I couldn't do the exact line because it wasn't about lying under oath, but I just said,
I guess that would be the first time Bill Belichick ever broke the law.
Exactly. Broke the rules. Yeah, exactly. So I guess I don't really give him the same exact benefit of the doubt. Now, most conspiracy theories are not true. But This one, I still haven't seen it disproved.
We have yet to get to Bill Belichick's. It was described as contentious. I have not heard the audio yet. I've enjoyed the Antonio Brown departure today enormously, but it's a big enough story. We're going to share this with you in just a little bit. We're here until 6. We still got some more baseball to take care of too.
Yeah, let's get to the Belichick audio on the other side, and then a big picture NFL question off of this story that doesn't necessarily make us get into the sordid details of the Antonio Brown story. We'll do it coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ask you about the big news from the weekend. Andrew Luck obviously surprisingly retired. Just faced him, I think, 6 times. What was it like going against Andrew Luck?
Yeah, he's a good player. I didn't see that, but I haven't really followed them, so.
That Belichick answer was so Belichickian that they actually released a statement afterwards being like, well, he knew that he had retired, obviously. Like, just to clarify that he had, in fact, heard that story. He's not living in a cave drawing up plays.
Well, when you're the greatest coach of all time, you have, I guess, earned a license to be a bigger Pud Wackington than the rest of them.
Yeah, it's like how Greg Popovich handles the in-game interviews during NBA games, and they're allowed 2 questions, and his average words per answer is probably 4.5.
Yes.
And
which endears him to a lot of people. Yeah, not among those.
Yeah, people are like, oh, it's charming. It's just Pop being Pop. It's like, well, he's just kind of being
an ass.
Yeah, he's kind of being a jag unnecessarily. It's game 14 of the regular season, and you're on TNT at 11:30 p.m. on the East Coast. You don't need to. It's not that serious.
Right.
All right. Lighten up, Francis.
No, he's not a millennial either.
No, not at all. This audio brought to you by HR Boost in the segment. Demand for top talent is at an all-time high, but you can't afford to miss important deadlines. Whether you need help for a day, a week, or months, keep your work on track with highly skilled accounting and finance professionals from AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. I hate seeing that word in copy.
I have one of those that I've cured. I don't know if you feel like you're over-enunciating to cure it. I used to deny 100 its first D until a buddy of mine pointed it out to me.
Yeah.
Said, hey, man, just because we're from Indiana, you don't have to prove it every day by saying he's hitting 300. And I said, you are MFing right.
And so
I didn't know I did that.
And so did you solve it by over-enunciating?
I solved it by being mindful of it. And the next time I heard myself say it a few times down the road, I corrected it. 100. So, yes, I don't
Important.
Think I've said it in 100 years.
It's just that I don't know what it is. First T I go to.
It's a D.
It rolls to a D.
Yeah, I got you. We'll figure it all out.
Important.
Either way, it's not going to change anything.
No, it doesn't matter. But when I lean into it, then the texters come over the top.
It is
what it is.
Yeah.
So Bill Belichick. That was time well spent. Bill Belichick asked questions about his new star wide receiver, who has been charged civilly in a civil court with sexual assault and rape and has countersued for extortion. Here's how it went with the Boston media.
On Antonio's situation, both Antonio and his representatives have made statements, and so I'm not going to be expanding on any of those. They are what they are. We've looked into the situation. We're taking it very seriously all the way through the organization. Sure, there are questions, but I'm not going to be entering into a discussion about that today. So we're up.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
when we know more, we'll say more.
That, you know, could impact the team.
Yeah, I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time. Just like we always do.
Are you preparing for the possibility that he could be on the commissioner's
team? We're preparing for one day at a time.
How much weight would the allegations against him weigh into whether or not you play him on Sunday?
Yeah, I appreciate all the questions, and that's what's been said has been said.
You know, you brought up Randy Moss yesterday. Do you think that Antonio Brown will require as much attention as Moss did to get him in sync with the team?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know if he'll require more attention?
No.
How difficult or frustrating is it to have a distraction like this right at the beginning of the season when you?
Yeah, we're working on Miami. We're working on Miami. The rest of it is, we're on Miami.
You've had bigger distractions before. Are you confident that this is not going to throw you off track at all?
We're working on Miami. Went through the scouting report. Went through the game plan today. We're going to practice for Miami.
Can you tell us at all what Antonio Brown has said to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with that. Okay. Anything else on Miami?
You're done with it in what way, sir?
Any other questions?
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, and I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you did.
Actually, I did.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Okay.
So he walks away from the lectern there at the end, escorted by a PR guy, it sounded like. Thanks, everybody. And
good job. I'll be honest. That's a good job
you
by
know,
the Boston media.
It's a good job by Boston media. And actually, Belichick gave up more at the front end of it than I was expecting him to give up. I actually thought there that was a fair commentary on his part.
Which part? I'm sorry.
Belichick's opening statements about it, about how we, you know, it's a serious situation. We're looking into it. He acknowledged its existence, which was what I was expecting him to not give anything.
Oh, I see.
I was expecting him to be in complete denial that the story exists.
So you were about to, like he handled the Andrew
yes,
Luck thing.
That's, yeah.
That, see, that would have just been offensive. If a player on your team gets charged with rape,
yeah,
and you pretend to not be, that you don't even know about it,
yeah,
then that is that's just tone deaf. The rest of that
you
stuff
know,
is Belichick.
There are a ton of texts coming in. There's people just really cutting off Belichick's pepe. Maybe I'm just conditioned to hearing it, desensitized to it. I didn't find that to be any more egregious than any other news conference, maybe even less.
He's like that all the time.
I thought he would have walked away four or five questions before he actually did. But to, like you said, to their credit, they didn't let off the topic.
What?
No one wanted to talk about the Dolphins. Someone should have said, in Miami, they're not talking about the Dolphins, Bill.
You guys
Why
are 19
should we
point
do it
favorites.
Here? You guys have won six titles during your run here. Why do we want to talk about the Miami Dolphins?
My favorite part of that was when he said, I answered that. And he said, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Right.
Although he did call him sir, which my guess is the media would want that one back. Most media don't do that. They don't call him coach. It's Bill, right? We're both professionals. We're both peers and that sort of thing. But no problem with it. But my guess is that reporter wants it back. But that was a strong Q&A after he said, I'm not taking any questions on it. They're like, all right, then we're going to keep asking you the questions until on you.
Yeah. If you haven't read a lot about the Antonio Brown accusations and the allegations, you should, but no going in. It's not pretty, and it's not surprising. And I think everybody's, you know, do their day in court. I don't know anything about his guilt, but what he texted to his former trainer, the gymnast, what she says he texted, I absolutely believe every word of that came off of his thumbs. Every damn bit of it.
I do too. And
it's appalling.
I should be more careful with my words, by the way, so I apologize. That's on me. He has been sued in civil court and accused of rape and sexual assault. You cannot be charged with rape in a civil court. So he has not been criminally charged with rape. So I apologize there.
That's
I said
okay.
Civil court, but he's been accused of rape and sexual assault.
Thank you, all you L3 students, for getting to
us. But they're right. That is, especially a serious matter, that is an important distinction, and I'm glad that you made the correction. But yeah, the language in there is obviously abhorrent. He has countersued. We'll see what happens. I think the league does a tremendous service to the 32 owners where they have the league set up where Roger Goodell takes the arrows on punishment for personal conduct and they take it out of the hands of the team. Like, Bill Belichick is allowed to have Antonio Brown practice and play if he's not put on something called the commissioner's exempt list. Mm-hmm. So there really isn't a ton of pressure or expectation for the Patriots to suspend him first.
That's right.
You could say they should, and morally they should, but they'll say, we're not compelled to do
so.
No
obligation here under league rules. The league's taken 32 teams off the hook. The league did every team in the league a favor by accepting that responsibility.
Right. And the team can hide behind, the league has an investigation that hasn't been concluded yet. So that's how these teams get around playing guys that have these types of allegations against them, or anything that's nefarious against them. It doesn't have to be this serious.
Yeah.
They can say, well, the league's investigating, and until the league finishes its investigation, we're not going to pass judgment.
Yeah. This boy, Antonio Brown, man, success. Success can be a guy's undoing or a woman's undoing as well. It's not about how he grew up for me. It's not about his age, his religion, his ethnicity. It is about how he has handled his enormous success. And I've seen it. We've seen it in town with some of our guys who think the rules don't apply to them. I've seen it in our business, some appalling behavior. And sometimes success is a guy's worst enemy and will ultimately be, split my verbs there, ultimately will be his undoing. Just a guy who doesn't think the rules apply to him, man. Those text messages were just brutal to dehumanize somebody from whom he had a positive relationship, an intimate relationship, and somebody who from whom he got a direct benefit, the trainer.
The trainer, yeah. They worked together. Yeah,
It's Player X. It reminded me of Player X.
Oh, really?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I could see the comp you're making there. Some people have come to me since this Antonio Brown thing and said, hey, Parkins, it only took a couple of weeks for the story you said was going to be the biggest story in the NFL all year to not be the biggest story anymore, which was my take on Andrew Luck, that would be the biggest story of the league year. The Antonio Brown story is more of a circus. There are more new day angles to it because he keeps releasing videos and going on Instagram and now this story, but it's not a bigger story. Andrew Luck, as a quarterback who could have had 10 more years of elite quarterback play and made $250 million, is not a bigger league story than Antonio Brown at 31 changing teams.
I don't know about it's everything about the way he went about changing teams and now this on top of it.
I understand.
I think while the Andrew Luck story, you know, was as shocking as it was, I don't think it will have the shelf life this story will. Because
it will, for a franchise.
Yes, it will, right? In Indianapolis.
Like, Andrew Luck's decision impacts the Colts more than Antonio Brown's decision impacts the Raiders or the Patriots, because Andrew Luck is more valuable. Or, to use a word that I have a hard time pronouncing, important. We'll be back after this. McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.